For several years, Visit Jersey has run a campaign around the concept that Jersey is curiously Brit-ish. Launched during the pandemic, it was a success for Brits who were unable to travel far from the UK. But now it's 2024 and it's time for a change. Visit Jersey has today launched its new campaign, Where Sea Meets Soul, which hopes to encourage international tourists to experience Jersey as a breath of fresh air. It invites first-time and repeat visitors of all ages to see the island in a new light. With me to discuss the new campaign is Tricia Warwick, who has been chief executive of Visit Jersey for nearly a year. We chat about the inspiration behind the campaign, who it aims to attract, and some of the inventive marketing tactics we'll be using to get tourists on the rock. So thank you for coming in. I think we're all riding high off the Apprentice episode still, which was very exciting to see Jersey on screen. I wanted to start by asking, you know, how difficult was it to keep that a secret for almost a year?
Thanks. Thank you, Kelly. And thanks for this interview today. Well, it was hard, no doubt. We've known about it for rather a long time and we were contracted not to say anything, so makes things a bit harder. But yeah, you kind of got to a point, early doors, it was like, oh my goodness, we mustn't let anybody find out. And then as time went on, we thought, you know what, let's just keep it in the background. So it was good. I suppose it was only when it started to build up again, we were getting close to episode. And the episodes, you know, we weren't sure when it would air. So we were waiting for that to happen. And then when that happened, it triggered it again, you know, because you always wonder what's going to happen next. And it was, but it's been such a build and the excitement that it's caused, yes, of course, in our team, keeping hold of it. But then I think, as you would agree, on Ireland and after the episode aired, the buzz, if you're at the airport. I went out twice on Friday to people talking about it, you know, and sort of really wanting to engage. And their part to play, some of them were the people that were in it, you know, so they're saying, oh, and, you know, people like Gabby were saying, oh, I didn't mean to sell my oyster so cheap, I didn't mean to, it's just that I was going home anyway, so I just had to get shot of them. And I'm like, okay, don't worry about it, it still showcased Jersey in a perfect light.
Exactly. And I think it's such a great direction for sort of the industry to be going in. So you've been in the role of chief exec of Visit Jersey for nearly a year now. Why don't you take us back to the start, tell me a bit about what you've learned in your year at Visit Jersey.
That has gone quickly. So I started last April and I arrived here with my husband, and we'd spent the last 22 years, or I had spent the last 22 years in Dubai. So big relocation for us, but married to a Frenchman, family in Brittany, mum in Sussex. So, you know, in a good location to see more family and friends. And then I wanted to get under the skin. My deal with myself was, I'm not from Jersey, so who am I to try and say anything until I've really got under the skin? So I spent the first, really, you would probably still say till now, but intensely, the first 3 months getting around the island, meeting as many people and seeing as many things and experiencing as much as I could to get the proper understanding. So quite a lot of listening, you know, to people in the industry, but to people as well, to the islanders, just to hear their perspective. You know, if you're sitting on the bus, you hear a different conversation to when you're sitting in a restaurant, to when you're talking to a hotelier. So it was really good to get that insight. So I made a promise to myself to do that first. It was really good to do that because you gather so much information and you get one honeymoon. You know, you can't be new forever. Yeah. And so I wanted to make use of that time to really learn as much as I could. And that's really helped myself and the team then start to put the business planning together for 2024. Mm. So I already arrived, we were midway through 23. So it was all about the planning really for 2024. Mm. And that's really helped the direction of our 2024 plan.
Brilliant. Yeah, so you're here today to talk to us a bit about the plans for the future and the new campaigns that you've got going. I think it'd be interesting first to turn to the old campaign, which was the Curiously Brit-ish one, which I think a lot of us have seen on kind of posters. And it'd be interesting to begin with what went well and what maybe didn't go so well with that campaign. Why is now the time to try something new?
Okay. I wasn't here for the launch of Curiously British, but obviously I've seen it and heard a lot about it. I think it was perfect at the time because we were in that common travel area for COVID where you could travel not many places, particularly from the UK, but you could come to Jersey. And so to actually pitch ourselves into the British market with Curiously British felt close to home. People didn't want to travel so far, easy to get to. So it resonated and definitely worked really well. I mean, the metrics did the talking, and definitely we saw an upswing in visitors and people who would never have considered Jersey. But because they were so limited on where they could travel to, Jersey went on the list. So we got a lot of first timers, which I think for us is exciting because, you know, the minute somebody comes here, we know they'll come back. We've got a strong indicators. I think the NPS score, which I mentioned in an article on JP recently.
Is that Net Promoter?
Net Promoter score is that kind of the willingness to recommend a place after you've been there. And a good score is 50. A fantastic score is 60 plus. And we're up at 71 at the moment and have been hanging at 70 for years. Mm. So that proves the point. You know, when people come here, they love it, they come back and they tell their friends. We've just got to get them. Mm. And so Curiously British absolutely did that job for that period of time. Here we are now entering 2024. It's typical not to run the same campaign for years on end, to be honest. It's always good to have a refresh. And we took a look at what Curiously British did for us and now what we need to do looking forward. And we're not only just talking to the British market with this campaign, we're talking to France and Germany as well, which is a bit of a first. So we've actually translated the upcoming campaign into French and German so that it's fully translated for them. And we're trying some new mediums and channels for the advertising as well so that we get the most return for our investment.
Mm. Oh, that sounds exciting. So was the Curiously British not so successful with European countries? Or
we didn't pitch it really there, you know, because common travel area issues with travel and stuff, it wasn't so easy. Mm. Coming out of that, yes, you know, that we certainly were running the campaign when they could travel. But I think connectivity with the UK is really strong and year round. And with France and Germany, it's a bit seasonal. So I think it did its job. But in comparison to the business that came from the UK, definitely the UK was the winner.
Okay, fantastic. So the new one is Where Sea Meets Soul. Mm. First of all, what comes to mind when you think of soul and when you think of sea? Mm. Why are these the two things that you've picked
yeah.
out?
I'll deal with soul first,
okay.
actually.
Yeah, take them.
Soul talks to the people and to the land and to the heart of the island. And the sea, I think, we are an island surrounded by the sea, but we also have this amazing tidal range where our island virtually doubles in size when the spring tides and the big tides come into play. And I think it's that concentration of what you can see and do in Jersey in such a small space where you've got that juxtaposition between the sea, the island, the land, and the people. Mm. And it's also symbiotic. It's so closely interconnected. And that's something we can own, and it's a bit different. Mm. It's not what everywhere can offer you. And I think that's what made us get excited about this strapline, because, you know, it really does start to make you look at Jersey in a different light through a different lens.
Brilliant. And with the soul, is there kind of a wellness element there at all? Mm.
Yeah, I think it plays to... you know, we want something that's sort of, you can stretch and it's flexible to talk to different audiences. And soul definitely talks to the well-being space, the great outdoors. You know, we have those wonderful cliff walks, beach walks, but also we've got the spa experience. We've got the lovely sauna society. The guys down at St. Catherine's was there on Sunday actually having a sauna in the box. So, you know, yes, I think absolutely. It's soul talks to, it's what it means to you. And I think that's the important thing about any advertising. What is the first thing that you're going to take from it when you see it? And that's what you want to, it's the first few seconds of seeing something, and particularly in the speed that we look at mediums today, you know, people are flashing through stuff very quickly. So you've got to land it very fast. So I think Where Sea Meets Soul does conjure up, what does that mean? And what does it mean to me? Mm. So we believe that it talks broadly and will be a great success.
Yeah, well, we hope so. I was going to ask, what are the kind of demographics that you're hoping to attract with the new campaign? Because typically, you know, we think it's kind of older visitors maybe come here, but are you looking to target a younger audience with this? What's the goal for that?
Well, traditionally, we've been blessed to have a great following. As I said before, when people come to Jersey, they come back. And so we've got an older demographic that has loved coming to Jersey for a long time and continues to visit. And then their children and their children come. So we have multi-generational visitors as well from yes, the UK, but also other parts of Europe as well. The mindset's really important these days. People travel, whatever age you are, you have a reason to travel. You may prefer spa, you may prefer food, you may prefer history and heritage, the great outdoors, whatever takes your fancy. And we want to appeal to the mindset in a person as to why they might like to travel. They then will tend to traditionally come from that older demographic, but we believe that Jersey is appealing to a younger demographic as well. And by tapping into what they like to do and reasons to travel, we believe we'll start to attract a younger audience as well, which will be first timers to Jersey, and hopefully repeaters in the future too.
Mm. Are you, I wouldn't say concerned, but have you considered at all, you know, the cost of living? And I think that is often a complaint with, not a complaint, but I've definitely done interviews with people. We did one of people who were leaving after their holiday. You'll be pleased to know it was mostly positive. That they all had a wonderful time. It was only two things they were annoyed about. One was the weather, because it was unfortunately not the best summer last year.
Yes.
And the other one was cost. It is quite expensive now. So are you aware of this? And I mean, what are you doing to sort of target that?
Yeah, I look, cost of living is an issue globally. Mm-hmm. And what we've found is that they've done a lot of research in different markets, and I'm just trying to remember the source of the one that was in the UK recently, but there's been several, where it was a Travel Weekly, UK, a trade paper that we obviously contribute to and read a lot. And they did a workshop and they did a survey about people's, what they're going to do with the cost of living squeeze. Mm. And the last thing to go is the holiday.
Mm.
So I think that's good, but then you've got to make sure that you're on the list. You know, because maybe it was two holidays and now it's one, or maybe it's three and now it's two. So now people's decision making's changing and they're looking for, you know, what are the best options? So we need to be on that consideration list.
Mm.
And that's where I think we've got to work hard to get the message out there about Jersey as a destination that's appealing to people, because our brand awareness is quite low. People, when they've been here, they know us, but still a lot of people in the UK don't know where Jersey is.
Mm.
And a part of our campaign, actually, is making sure we dial up that proximity to the UK. You know, breakfast in Brighton, lunch in Jersey. Mm-hmm. You know, breakfast in London, lunch in Jersey. It's so easy to get here. Why not?
Mm.
And I think that simplicity and proximity to the UK and to France and Germany is what we want to dial up. And we're actually showing on the advertising, on the creative, a map indicator of where Jersey actually is, to show how close it is to the UK and to France and the rest of Europe.
Mm, that's probably wise, because I think before you move here, a lot of people sometimes don't know exactly where we are.
Yeah.
But I only ask the cost of living questions because I think young people are quite sensitive to that, so
yes,
obviously that will be something on their minds. But you sound quite confident that, you know, you have the right approach to target them.
I believe we have. I think it's the way you package it up as well, and I think you've got to make it consumable for different types of travellers.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there is the you know, the different, there's the high-end visitor, there's somebody with a budget, there's somebody who's looking for self-catering, and I think we've got something to offer everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's just then depending on the time of year that you want to come and the availability of stuff. But I think as it goes, because you're not having to travel so far as well, and you know, you've got similarities in things like the language, the currency, all those things make life just a bit easier.
Mm-hmm. Mm, definitely. I think, are you looking to take it even further abroad? It's more global as well, because I know you used to work for Visit Britain, and I think you did a lot of work with, you know, a lot of countries. And are you looking to take it even further than just France, Germany, UK?
We've stayed true to France, Germany, UK this time. And in fact, we're spending a bit more than we've ever done before in France and Germany. But it's really tempting to want to go further. The challenge we have is that your budget only goes so far.
Mm.
And the further you spread something, is probably like anything, you know, the weaker and more diluted it becomes.
Mm.
You know, it's harder. So focus is really important. And still, when we look at the statistics, you know, upwards over 70% of our visitors come from the UK. So I think it would be opportunistic of us to look at new markets as they come along. For example, China recently with the Lunar New Year,
mm.
we did some work on that. We're now talking about how we could generate more business for the next Chinese New Year. So there are opportunities, sort of projects and tactical opportunities.
Mm.
But the focus really needs to stay where the majority of the opportunity is with the current budget that we have at hand.
I think going back to the campaign, what are your targets with this? I mean, how are you going to measure success when it comes to this campaign? Is it in numbers of visitors, type of visitors?
Look, we're very clear when you look at the overnight leisure visitor, we need to grow that business. And when you do this type of campaign activity and marketing, you are doing two things. Some stuff you can really measure easily, and some stuff's more intangible. So that kind of brand build awareness is less tangible, but you can track it through things like, you know, how many times they visit the website, how often they spend on the website. But what you really want, and what we all want, is that conversion. And can we measure, did somebody see it, go to look, and then book? And the book is the ka-ching. Then you've landed the conversion, the booking, the visitor that's going to come to visit you. So that's ideal. That's what we want. Some of that you can really track easily. Like we can do it with digital marketing. You can see exactly how it converts, and you can follow the customer's journey online to see if they book.
Scary.
Yeah, scary, but true these days. Yeah. But then something like, for the first time, we're going to use cinema. Up and down the UK, which will be fun.
What, so before a film runs, it'll be
It'll be a Jersey ad.
Fantastic.
And that will then say at the end of the 30 seconds, you know, beautiful dreamy shots of Jersey, then where sea meets Sol. And then the final caption will be, plan your adventure at jersey.com. Mm. So that's when we'll be able to see the traffic that comes, because we all know when we were in cinema and so on. But again, I can't necessarily know whether that person then converted and booked. So I'm measuring a couple of different things. Sometimes I'm measuring awareness, sometimes I'm measuring bookings.
Mm.
But the sum of the two is what grows the awareness and business to Jersey and visitors to Jersey.
Oh, wow. Interesting. Mm. I think, because as well, you've launched the campaign at a different time, because it's usually Boxing Day, but
yeah.
You've done it kind of spring. Was there a reason behind that? Were you trying to do something different there?
Yeah, there was a logic, actually. You probably know yourselves, when you look at the media around Christmas and New Year, it's busy. You know, there's a lot of sales going on, not just in travel, but everywhere. But I'll stick to travel. The big partners like EasyJet are doing their huge launches then, and they almost put all their routes on sale. You know, there's offers everywhere. And I think that's where we know that we can't compete in that space with our spend. So we did join up with EasyJet Holidays, for example. So we did some co-op, as we call it, cooperative marketing, matched marketing, where we buddied up together to promote Jersey. So we were in EasyJet's campaign at Christmas, New Year. We decided to do our own campaign later because we wanted to be able to stretch it, really, so that we're marketing as late as we can. So our campaign has been always on. So we did that bit at Christmas, New Year with partners like EasyJet and others. And then we stayed on social with always on activity. And now we're coming into the new campaign launch. And then we're hoping, well, we know from our media planning that we'll be able to stretch that through to May. So that's a lot longer that you're in front of your audience with a compelling message, please come to Jersey, than just doing it all in a one big spike. Mm. And so we've decided it's better to do what we call in marketing always on, so that you're almost doing little spikes, but you're staying in market longer and hopefully attracting more people.
I think I thought it might have something to do with the Olympics. I don't know if this is just me, but I thought, are you trying to maybe catch people bouncing at the Olympics at all? Because people are maybe booking their trips to Paris, and obviously that's very close. Is that something that you've been considering at all?
You know, it's interesting, because you would think potentially something like the Olympics would have a massive pull. It's really quite centred in France. And, you know, they are, we were talking to them actually, because we did look at it, particularly for the French market. And, you know, we've got this year the 80 years D-Day celebrations in France and in UK, 79 for Jersey, but 80 for France and UK. So we're seeing that's June, Olympics is July, August. You know, is there something here where we could get people over to Jersey at that time as well? Because they're going to Normandy maybe for the D-Day landings, celebrations. But it's not a thing. People tend to go there, and then I think they'll either stay in France, you might get them into Italy, but they go home again. And it's a typical type of, it's a certain type of tourist that goes to big sporting events.
Mm.
Harder to target. And we'd need to be a bit nearer, I think, even nearer than Paris to attract people. Mm. Off the back of the Olympics.
Yeah, maybe with some direct flights as well, that would help.
Connectivity is king, you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
And I think if you could say that, oh, come to the Olympics in, you know, half an hour, within an hour you can be sitting in Jersey. That's a message. Without that connectivity and that flight at the moment, we're a bit down the suggestion list for people.
Speaking of sport, I'd be interested to know whether that was part of the idea with this campaign, because obviously sea, soul in my mind is kind of swimming and things like that, and we've had events like the triathlon, and if that's something where you're trying to get people over, maybe sporty people who want to, I know there's like a park run A to Z thing now, and there's all sorts of sporting marathons and events. Is that something you're looking at as well?
Yeah, look, I mean, there's so many different reasons people like to travel, and sport obviously is a kicker as well. And things like park run, but also the marathon and these events that take place here, they do have a pull. Like I've seen people at park run who've come over from the UK tying it in maybe with a rugby match that come to do the park run as well, so they've got maybe another reason to visit, or they're visiting friends and relatives. But sport, for us, we recognize the power of it. My goodness, you know, when you see what it can do for a destination as well, it has huge impact. And we want to, there's two parts of sport, I suppose. There's what we do locally for the community, and there's a lot that goes on, I know, around that. And when you look at places like Strive that have been built to sort of help that side of things, and rugby and netball and all the other things we hear about. But I think for our sport marketing and things like bringing football teams here, rugby teams that are on, you know, that are international level, would be a great opportunity for us, because then you start to get all those fans and those followers coming too. So that's on our radar. I can't say we've got anything live at the moment, but we absolutely see the value of it.
Speaking of events and kind of not just sporting events, but I think concerts and things in that area, do you think that you have a good balance between attracting people here for those kinds of events and also for the more kind of niche aspects of Jersey that people might come for? Is that something, it is obviously difficult to balance those, but do you think that you've managed to do that?
No, I don't think we have yet. I think what's really important is have a good calendar of events. And, you know, I think most people would agree that in the summer months there's a lot going on here. There's enough to keep everybody busy. But in the spring and the autumn season, less so. And less so for the international visitor as well, and the visitors from Europe. So it's on us as an island, I think, to come up with those reasons why you should get on the plane and come to Jersey in spring and autumn. And that could be around sport, well-being, food, culture, history, heritage, concerts, events. And I'm looking forward to the Opera House opening, because I think that programming, which we're talking to them at the moment, they're starting to put that program together. And when we start to know what that looks like, we can promote that. And, you know, come to Jersey, go to the theatre, see a concert, and benefit from a lovely restaurant experience and a spa, another reason to come to Jersey. But maybe in spring and in autumn, not just that summer season where we do have a lot going on, but I think it's trying to make sure that stuff is interesting to the visitor as well, because some of it's local and of local interest. But how do you tap into events that are going to attract the international visitor? That's really where we've got work to do.
That's exciting to hear you talk about the Opera House and things like that, and kind of, because that would be a winter season, surely, so quite, and it's indoor. And
yeah, plays to all that.
Yeah, people say that Jersey's great in the sun, but then when it rains, it can be difficult. So, yeah, it sounds like you have lots of ideas for that. I just wanted to finish by talking about kind of collaboration with other Channel Islands, if that's something that you're looking at doing. And I mean, how are you working with Guernsey at the moment? Is this something you've been thinking about, you know, is it maybe something to do with an experience, kind of a Channel Island experience? Is this conversation something you're having?
Look, we have live conversations with Guernsey, actually. In fact, I was just, weekly, either emails or phone calls or something going on. Because the customer, you know, if you think about, particularly, it's a thing, particularly in continental Europe, they look at the Channel Islands as a destination, not just Jersey or Guernsey or Sark. They look at it as Channel Islands as the destination. And they love the idea of island hopping. You know, so I might spend a few nights in Jersey, then I go to Guernsey, up to Alderney, over to Sark. They like to look at it like that. The challenge we've had in my time, which is only, I appreciate, the last year, but it's a live issue, really, is connectivity. You know, the boat sailings, the flights.
I was going to ask,
making it work.
Yeah, do we need to be better connected as a child?
Yeah, 100%. I think we all want it. It's just making it happen, I suppose. But yes, we need to be better connected. Better connected, I suppose, more schedules to France, more schedules to Guernsey, and then back the other way so that you can do a day return, a one night, a two night. At the moment, it's quite complicated because the schedules are not reliable to know that they're happening every day. So it makes it quite hard for tour operators and people in France and Germany to plan those itineraries for their customers. Mm. And so people then get a bit sort of put off by it and sort of just stick to one island. Mm. So we do, we talk to Guernsey quite a lot. We're actually going to do a show together in France later in the year, okay. Talking to the French market. And we actually do have a joint website page.
Okay.
Which we look after and we populate together. So the only way is up really for us in Guernsey. You know, we're just trying to find that connectivity that makes it easy for the customer. Mm. Because we can talk about it, but you've got to be able to get there and back easily.
Mm. Yeah, because it's not only Guernsey as well, it's France, as you said, and that French market. And I think there's so many events going on in France and Normandy and D-Day,
yeah,
and all sorts
wonderful.
Of that. So that's definitely sort of something you're exploring and collaborations.
Yes, yes. And partnerships are really important there, Kelly. You know, you've got to... you've got to work with the airlines, but also you've got to work with the Montgil Express and with Condor and with other boat operators like Seafaris and all these guys that are taking business over there. And then we're always looking to people who've got interest to operate between the islands, between Guernsey and Jersey and beyond. So those are conversations that are ongoing, and it's just lining everything up so you've got the boats ready, the people ready, and the programme and the schedule ready. And fingers crossed, you know, we're excited that connectivity will return and be better, certainly between us and Guernsey and the other outer islands. And I'd love to see more routes into France.
Mm, fantastic. And so where Sea Meets Soul, the big big campaign, what is the final, your parting words for the message for this campaign? How would you sum it up to people visiting?
I think it shows a different Jersey that maybe people have never thought of before and never seen before. If you've been here, you might think, oh, that's a different side to Jersey. I haven't looked at it like that before. And if you've never seen it, you think, wow, I've got to go. And I think that, as I said, first few seconds, you see something and you're compelled to book. That's what we'd like to see.
Fantastic. Thank you to Tricia Warwick. And thanks for listening to the Bailiwick podcast. Keep up with all the latest news by visiting bailiwickexpress.com or reading our sister publication, the JEP. More next week from me, Kelly Frost, and the rest of the team.